Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp. And of course, this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you. I'm delighted to be here with my co-hosts that will introduce themselves in a moment. And it is a beautiful day in my consciousness. Hi, friends.
Hello, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and I'm in the North Carolina part of this virtual kitchen table, and it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And greetings, this is the Reverend Dr. Bill, and this is another beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid, that's what we call it, hybrid Unity Ministry. It's an online events-driven ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, Y-O-U, Universal, because it's about you, prosperity.com.
And the shortcut, as we always like to tell people, is UCFYP.com.
Wow. And Bill, when you said greetings, I expected the next word to be out is earthlings.
It almost was.
Greetings, earthlings.
It almost was. I thought about it.
And my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar and my weekly blog, The Absolute Word. And I just learned I didn't get this week's up there yet. So that's a to-do for today. At least it'll be up before Sunday. And in this MR2, Metaphysical Romp 2, we are continuing to romp with Eric Butterworth, and this is part 4. And let's remember that we're all about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience around the virtual kitchen table. So we're going to get romping right away. I decided I would jump in because it looked like Cher is having so much fun finding these Eric Butterworth quotes. So I found this one not far from where she had hers, Spiritual Economics. I don't know what edition this is, but it's page 76 in my book. And Eric is talking about Jesus. And he said, in reference to Jesus, he never seemed to lose sight of the fact that while people thought he was God becoming man, he knew he was man becoming God. And isn't that what we've been talking about? That our divinity is absolute and really unlimited. And even so, in order to express our humanity, we have to limit it. And in expressing our humanity, we're always trying to do it in the best way possible to raise our consciousness. So we are becoming better expression of God as long as we remember we're the ones doing the expressing.
Yeah. And one of the things I really like about that quote, it reminds me of I can still remember the first time I ever heard this in Unity and thought, wow, is that Jesus is not the great exception. He's the great example.
Yes.
And I just, that really hit me when I was early into Unity, that all of a sudden it just opened up a whole new way of looking at all the teachings and everything that I had studied in the past.
Yeah. And I'd like to add what occurred to me with the reading Butterworth is that, yeah, we have an infinite essence as well as a finite essence. And because we are that, both of them, if you will, being expressed in physicality and in this case, human form, that's the dimension we're in, we are God essence vibrating at a lower frequency because we're physical. We're vibrating at the speed of light for you science folks. I'll just throw this in as a comment, as opposed to the speed of consciousness, which is a gazillion times faster than the speed of light. So we have access to all of that. And as Butterworth's suggesting, we simply need to become conscious of our quote unquote G-O-D-ness. And I use the G-O-D as global omnipresent divinity or ultimate reality, or as Paul says, principle. It's not an anthropomorphic God in the sky.
Right. And as I looked over to the next page, I saw a definition of faith, which I don't even remember reading. Faith is expectancy.
Ah. Love it.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that.
I like that.
And it's actually expectancy with conviction.
Yes. So expectancy in a way contains conviction, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I've been kind of grooving on conviction for quite a few months. Okay, so do you have one, Cher?
Well, now, with a quick comment on that too, guys, because now I'm going to get in good trouble here.
It's the kitchen table. Yeah. You're allowed.
And the reason is good trouble, folks, is that where Butterworth was is where unity certainly needs to be now's baseline, not from the original founders, because they were trying to make unity a bridge between religion and spirituality. And so some of the nomenclature, the terminology had to be very, I want to say, guarded. Butterworth has expanded the bandwidth of the conceptualizations of what he says, what he quotes from our founders, etc. And that's one thing for me that's made Butterworth a great teacher, because he's outside the box.
And well, he's outside the Fillmorian box.
Yes, yes.
But he hasn't trashed the Fillmorian.
Exactly.
Right. No, he's expanded the understanding of it.
Exactly.
And that's what we want to do.
And that's what we think we're doing. And we've said before in this program, and this sounds a little bit like hubris, but I'll own it, that we had what the Fillmores wrote, spoke prior to 1950. And then we have what Eric Butterworth did from the 60s into, I think, the 80s or 90s. And now there's what we're doing in 2021.
Yeah, right. We agree. Mm-hmm. And that's not an ego thing at all, folks. It's just an awareness that just as life forms are the product of evolution, our spirituality is also the product of evolution. Expansiveness in the thinking.
Absolutely.
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
Great analogy. As always, we always expect that from Bill. And let me remind people that either one of the gifts Eric had was he could have this beautiful absolute thought and an old thought side by side. But I'm beginning to think it wasn't accidental. I think he did that. So in a way, he met people where they were, and then he gave them a new alternative. And let me do this more specifically, because I gave you the quote, but what preceded the quote is a quote from the Bible. Mm. So let me do this. So Eric says, a needy person once knelt down before Jesus saying, quote, good master, unquote. Jesus cut in abruptly saying, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. And without any other language, that's really separating, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Okay? And we don't separate our humanity from our divinity. And then Eric goes on to say, Jesus never seemed to lose sight of the fact that while people thought he was God becoming man, he knew he was man becoming God. And so it's two sides of a way of looking at something, one more traditional and one more contemporary.
Yep. And what we're suggesting here, as Paul is saying very clearly, is that the three of us are trying to help people realize that when you change your mind with the enlightenment, if you will, you can also change your meme.
Oh, change your mind, change your meme.
There's a meme.
Down,
oh, wow.
That's a keeper.
Yeah. And what you're talking about is really the same thing as when we take a parable or a story of Jesus and then interpret it from a meta-spiritual perspective or metaphysical perspective. That's exactly what we're doing there, is taking it into a new context and broadening the way you can apply it.
Yep.
You know what? This would be a good point for you guys to remind our listeners what meta-spiritual means.
Yeah, meta-spiritual is our definition for this term that we coined. Metaphysics is beyond physics. Meta-spiritual is beyond spiritual, and this is why. It's the marriage between evidence-based science, faith-based spirituality, and metaphor-based metaphysics.
Metaphysics. There we go. And I'm always adding that while we call this metaphysics beyond the physical, it does not exclude the physical. And the more exactly. we learn from science, we can't exclude the physical.
Very true.
Absolutely.
So do you got something to share?
I do. And it's over a few more pages. It's still in spiritual economics. This is such a great book. It's really amazing how it just continues to, I see it differently each time we read it.
Yes.
On page 82, he says, disbelief is a negative power that frustrates or turns off your inner potential. If you doubt something enough, the mind will attract all kinds of reasons to support the disbelief.
Wow. You know that what that reminds me of? And I never complete process, but as a kind of tongue-in-cheek joke, I suggest that we should write the 12 anti-powers.
Yeah.
And so disbelief would be one of them.
They would definitely be one of them. And this mm-hmm. really captures the fact that the law of mind action is always working.
Yes.
And it's up to you to determine what you're giving feeling and emotion to in your thoughts.
Yeah. And the law is law. It's neutral. Mm-hmm. It's benign. It's not, it doesn't have agency. It's not able to act. But the way we use it determines the outcome we have.
Yep. Right. And if you're not ready to really be open-minded enough when you hear new information, new life-changing, transformative information, you will think of reasons to support the disbelief. And that's called confirmation bias. Mm.
Yes. And didn't we see that in the last election cycle?
Oh,
did I bring up politics? I did. That's all we're going to say, I think.
Yes. But you're right. I mean, and it's all around. Confirmation yeah. bias, you can see it everywhere. It is so visible now in society. I think it's just become so obvious when yeah. you walk, when you look at anywhere, anything, not just politics, everything. People seem to be guided by their confirmation bias. And so this is just another reason for all the things we talk about, questioning unquestioned answers, and how important that is to have that open-mindedness enough to question. We don't say believe everything or disbelieve everything you believe, either way.
Yes.
It's just be open to the question, to be willing.
We're talking about questioning everything. Mm-hmm. And that's a good reminder that our unanswered questions are less dangerous to our spiritual growth as are our unquestioned answers.
Oh, most right. definitely.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely.
Now, I'm looking here. I had another one quote pulled up, but I've lost it. So if you have one, share, go for it.
Okay, I have one. Can I flip back over to the law, power within, discover the power within you?
Yes.
And the one that I have is about prayer. And he's saying, following Jesus' criteria under the law of compensation. So he's the whole chapter here is on the law. It's page 144 is the law of compensation. And he says, you should pray only. Let's see what y'all think of this. You should pray only for the releasement of your creative potential and for the opportunity to fulfill it.
Wow. So read that again. That was a pretty big frog.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about what he's saying here. Following Jesus' criteria. And above that, Jesus' criteria is talking about the law of compensation. Following that, you should pray only for the releasement of your creative potential and for the opportunity to fulfill it. So he's talking in the context here, just to give a context about jobs. Like if you're praying to get a good job, that was the context of this whole section here. And so he said, instead of praying, I want this job, give me this job, I won't be satisfied with anything but this job. He's saying, instead, you should just pray for the releasement of your creative potential and the opportunity to fulfill it.
So the word that gets in the way there is the word pray.
Yes, yes.
People hear it traditionally, but prayer is putting a demand on the divine. It's
right.
Yes. A demand on principle. So what it's really doing is claiming, we're not praying, is claiming the releasement, right?
Mm-hmm. Divinely ordering it.
Divinely ordering it, yes.
Yeah. And he goes on, like you mentioned earlier, he continues to open this up and, yep. and offer ways to look at it, because he goes on to say, when you get yourself in tune with the divine action by holding a universal thought, you will draw to you the opportunity that is the right and perfect place where you could fulfill all your needs. Of course, we would say we attract ourselves to
draw ourselves to. Yeah.
But same idea, that it's how we are. It's not how other things are. It's not based on something out there. It's based on our ability to divinely order that process through our right of consciousness, through our open consciousness.
I did not remember he had a chapter on the law of compensation. And as you know, I'm working, not working on the laws. Mm-hmm. And the law of compensation is one I kind of chafe at. And so I'm going to go back and read his chapter on the law of compensation, because the Fillmores don't say much on it. And so I need to get Eric's perspective before I finish the writing of that book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like the other day I was reading something in Fillmore, and I haven't gone back to check in my book, and I probably need to do that. But he talks about the male and female principles, which I don't ever remember reading that. Huh. So I may not have included those in my principles book. And then I'm wondering what happened with my research process, right? Because I'm looking at every instance of the word principle in the published works, which should have brought that up, and I should have written it down. And the other thing is that it was after I was just, let me just put this, I was just getting to the point of really understanding a principle as a divine idea. If I wanted to be really thorough, then I'd have to look up divine idea or idea every time to see which ones are, are spoken about, because those could be added to the principle list. So I got a feeling that the principle book is in process too.
Good. Everything always is outcoming, right?
Well, you know, the thought that just came to my mind, Paul, when you mentioned male and female principles, I immediately went to left and right brain synchronization.
Well, you talk about that, and I know we're getting to the end of our time, but that's something maybe you should think about. I have a feeling that's going to be a black hole we're going to climb down into. So maybe share, make a note that's something we may want to explore in a coming show.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Yep.
And let me just add one little in that same chapter, talking about prayer. This kind of ties the two together. He said on page 136, he says, in Jesus' concept of prayer, it is not a matter of bribing God for the release from some karmic burden of debt or from the effects of the law of compensation. It is simply that the higher law of spirit overrides or supersedes the lower laws of the mental and physical planes.
Wow, 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 wow. So I really do have to go back and read that chapter.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time. Yeah. All right, so I think this is probably an ideal time for us to pivot to the Absolute Word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this comes from Sunday, June 27th, 2021. The words in the Daily Word was let go and let God, something that the three of us have let go of. And so I changed it to discern and release. And I did that based on what the Daily Word actually said. So the affirmation is, I discern what is mine to do and release the rest. I equip myself with powerful spiritual tools for creating the life of my dreams through meditation, prayer, visualization, and affirmation. I am willing to work for what I want in my life and the lives of those I care about. Sometimes I can be focused on what I am doing that I forget the importance of stepping back from my efforts and releasing my attachment to specific outcomes. I recenter my awareness on my divinity as perfect peace and clarity arise within me. I remember the divine is in all people and circumstances as a resource for the greater good of all. I release any attachment to specific outcomes and lean on my divinity to discern what to think, feel, say, and do, resulting in better outcomes for all. I discern what is mine to do and release the rest. Before I say goodbye, I want to say something about releasing specific outcomes, because many of our listeners have heard me say that whenever we're trying to manifest, we should be very specific. So I think we need to have specific outcomes, but we do not need to be attached to those outcomes. So our minds are open through confirmation bias of seeing other opportunities that will fulfill the basic desire that underlies the original outcome we were looking for. And having said that, thank you all for listening. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off. And goodbye, my friends.
Goodbye. This is Reverend Dr. Cher saying thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
And we'll check you out again in terms of this podcast and all other podcasts. And as we invite you to discern what you heard today and then release any doubts whatsoever of your spiritual beingness.
Goodbye, everybody.